One of the greatest blessings that we have as believers that is afforded to us by the Lord is the blessing and the privilege of prayer. I had the opportunity to do a short devotional with the young people this weekend, and I talked to them about the theme of prayer, and we talked about what prayer was, some of the things that I had shared with you in the past concerning prayer I shared with them. I wanted to focus a little bit more on the thought of prayer tonight as a congregation. And I think that you'll understand with me and agree with me that there is no greater blessing afforded to us than the blessing to pray. There's no greater joy and privilege than to be able to bring our burdens and our petitions to the Lord, knowing that He hears us, knowing that He cares. Not only does He hear and listen, but He desires and He will answer us. Sometimes we pray and we hope that God answers, but we hope in the wrong way. It's not an expectation in the Lord. We just hope things sort of work out in the end, and we're almost surprised when He does. And yet the Bible tells us that God has given to us a wonderful blessing, a wonderful privilege to pray. And as God's children, we are bid to come to Him, to come often and regularly, to lay our petitions at His feet, knowing that He will do things according to His perfect will. We have the wonderful blessing of prayer. As we get underway tonight, I'm going to share with you several verses concerning this thought of prayer, because the Bible is filled with many verses on the theme of prayer. And I want to share some with you. In fact, I'm going to encourage you just to kind of look up and look at the screens, because there's no way for me to take the time and have you turn with me to all of these. By the time we got done turning to them all, we'd probably be pretty much to the end of our message, but there's some other things I want to share. So let me just go through several verses with you concerning prayer, and in the midst of that, we're going to look at the verses here in Psalm 40 as well. I want to again kind of where I've started towards the beginning of the scriptures, and that's in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 4, and it reads, "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, we read these words, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." In Psalm 18 and verse 6, the scripture says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." In Psalm 34, verse 15 and verse 17, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Psalm 38 and verse 15 says, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O my God." Now look down, if you would, at Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Psalm 50 in verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalm 55 in verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." As we come into Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Isaiah 58 and verse 9, Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah writes, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In verses 12 and 13 he says, Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. As we come into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So in Philippians 4 and verse 6, we're told, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In Hebrews 4 verse 16, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James tells us to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Peter tells us that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Therefore cast all of your care upon him, because he cares for you. And finally, 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Folks, as you read through those verses with me, we can see the tremendous blessing that is afforded to us when it comes to prayer. These are just a few of the verses throughout the scripture that speak of the topic of prayer. There are many more that we could have chosen tonight. Each one of those verses could probably take us an entire message in and of itself to mine the very depths and the meaning of those passages. Tonight I want to look at another verse though, and I want you to turn with me if you would to the Gospel of Luke and the 11th chapter. And tonight I want to spend the rest of our time considering this thought concerning prayer, our greatest and blessed opportunity. Luke chapter 11. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 13. It says, And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask it? Bow with me, please, in a word of prayer. Then we're going to focus our thoughts simply on verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this time together tonight, for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come and consider the Word of God, and to consider the wonderful blessing and the privilege of prayer. Lord, I pray tonight that as we look at this one simple verse, that you would help us to see the wonderful blessing laid before us, and that each one would take full opportunity as it is given to us in your Word. Father, the Bible is filled with many wonderful passages that tell us the wonderful truth that you hear us when we cry, when we pray, your ears are attended unto us. Father, we're humbled by that tonight. But we're so thankful that we can come and we can be heard of you. So teach us, Lord, how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. From this one verse tonight, I simply want to see two basic thoughts. I want to first of all look with you, if we would, at what I call the inclination of prayer. The Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples that we must be inclined to pray. We need to have the disposition to come to God and offer to him our request. All who endeavor to pray learn that prayer is not an easy task. In fact, prayer could easily be described as hard work. And the Lord's disciples understood that, and no doubt one was overwhelmed by the way he watched the Savior pray. So the Bible tells us in verse 1 that after Jesus was done praying in a certain place, one of his disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Like John taught his disciples, we need to learn how to pray. And folks, you and I need to learn the value, the importance of prayer and be inclined to pray. We ought to be coming to the Lord and asking him, Lord, teach me to pray. The Lord begins by giving what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, which is the pattern for us and the way that we should consider praying. It is not something that we need to repeat often to him, but it's the pattern for us. And there's much for us to learn there. But I want to focus again on just simply verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, seek, knock. We are to be inclined to pray. The Lord shared a story in verses 5 through 8, and it depicts one who is bent on getting that which he had need of. A friend of his travels in from another city, and as he comes into the night, he realizes that he has nothing to which he can greet him with, nothing for which he can supply for his needs. So he goes next door and he beats upon the door and says, friend, give me some loaves that I may feed my friend who has traveled afar. Now his inclination is at that point in time, it's late. The kids are asleep. I don't really have time. Why don't you just go? But he is bent on receiving that which he needs. And so he is helped by that one to whom he asked, that he seeked, that he was willing to knock upon. So often I think we find ourselves discouraged because we asked but did not receive immediately. But within this verse I see a progression with one inclined to pray. God would have you and I to know the wonderful blessing, the joy and privilege of prayer. Again, I don't know, as you read those verses with me tonight, what your thoughts were, but over and over again I read where it says that He hears us when we pray. He hears our cry, and He answers. Yet so often, we just don't ask. We're not inclined to seek. We're not inclined to knock upon the door of God and the throne room of God. There is to be within us an inclination to pray. And again, as I come to verse 9, I find these three words: to ask, to seek, and knock. And the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, that ye may find. Knock, and it will be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So ask, seek, and knock. The Lord Jesus finishes off this passage by saying, if you, earthly people, as a father would do good to your own children, and you know how to do good, how much more will the Heavenly Father do unto you who ask, seek, and knock? I want you to look at those three words with me tonight. I want you to see a few things concerning, first of all, our inclination of prayer. Let's consider first the word ask. It's first on the list. The Lord Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. The word ask there is a word that speaks of our simplest desire. There is a need, and the simplest thing for us to do is to ask or to express the desire. We ask because we have a need. And the Bible says that we should ask that we might receive. Folks, when you and I come to God in prayer, we're coming to ask. We're acknowledging that we have a need. We recognize that we are unable in and of ourselves to meet the need, but we're coming to one who is able. I shared it with you before. It's one of my favorite New Testament verses. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be glory. He is able to do far above what you and I could ever imagine. So the simplest thing is, there's a desire within our heart. Ask. Why? Because he is able. He is able to do far above what we could ever imagine. So within your mind tonight, is there a need that you would like to see met? Is there a request within your heart that you wish God would just handle and take care of it tonight? Is there a soul that you desire to see saved and come to Christ? Is there a change of life that you would like to see happen in someone that you know? Is there a circumstance that you would like to see changed? Is there something that you would like to see different than it is right now? Is there a burden upon your heart? Then ask. The Bible says that we ought to be inclined to come to the Father and ask of Him what we have need of. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. There's a need upon our heart, and the Bible says we should ask of the Father. It's our simplest desire. But then there's the progression. We should seek as well. The word seek goes beyond a simple desire. The word seek speaks of an earnest inquiry. We are to seek. This word, as well as the word ask and knock, all three words are written in the present active tense. It means it's a continual action. I am to ask and to keep on asking. I am to seek and to keep on seeking. I am to knock and keep on knocking. It's literally how you could read the verse. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Knock, and keep on knocking until that door is open unto you. The concept is seek until you have found. God wants you and I to seek Him. To seek His help until it is found. Let's be honest. If I were to say to you that somewhere on this property there would be found a treasure unmeasurable, there would not be a piece of our property in the 7.7 acres that we own that would not be tore up. Because you would seek until it was found. You would tear the building down. You would tear my house down. You would probably tear my car apart. It wouldn't matter. It's on the property. It's getting torn up until you found it. Why? Because you would have riches unmeasurable. Right? We would seek until we found. People take that philosophy with the lotto. Play until I win. You know the amazing thing, though, with that one is? I'm always amazed when I go to the convenience store and I'm standing in line just to buy some milk. And I'm amazed that, number one, they allow them to stand there and flip through everything and then keep buying more. They win $10 and they spend $15 more. And I want to speak out one day and say, you know what? You're the most foolish person I've ever known. You just won $10. You ought to keep it instead of wasting it on $10 of losing tickets. Because the goal is, I want to get rich. And what do? They make themselves poor. God has said to you in prayer, we can seek His help and answers, His work, His power, His grace. Are you inclined to seek Him in prayer? There ought to be an inclination that we would seek. Finally, we ought to knock. The word knock is a word that speaks of our repeated endeavor. My simplest desire is to ask. My earnest inquiry is to seek. And my repeated endeavor is I will knock until that door is opened unto me. There's a determination to gain entrance. I remember years ago, we had a missionary come in, and he was doing part of a missions conference at the church that we were in as an assistant pastor. He was one of the most unique missionaries I had ever met. Anthony Guerin was his name. Anthony was an interesting fella. He was from the streets of Camden. He grew up in the rough part of town. And he was saved by the Lord. And he had a burden to go back into the city and there to reach people. Anthony was about 5'2". But he had the voice of a 6'8" linebacker. I mean, he could just let it fly. We used to like when he would come and tell us stories. They would go something like this. Anthony was not going to take no for an answer when he went soul winning. So he would knock on the door. He'd see the lights that are on. He could hear the music playing. And he would knock and he would keep banging until finally someone would yell out. And he'd yell back to him, "Get down here and open the door! Or I'm going to kick it in!" I said, "Anthony, I don't ever want to go anywhere with you. I can hear you up there. Get down here." Why? Because he was taking no for an answer. He knocked until he got entrance.
It didn't matter where he was. Folks, I'll be honest with you. We read Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. You know what God says for you to do? Come before my door and knock.
Ask, seek, knock. The question is, are we inclined to pray? Jesus wanted us to have the inclination of prayer that we would come. And he says, I say unto you, ask, seek, knock. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. There's another thought I want you to see with me tonight, and that's this, the intention of prayer. Through these three same words, to ask and seek and knock, we're able to discover what we're intent on receiving. Why do we come to God in prayer? Why does the Savior say to have this inclination to come and to ask, to seek and knock? What is it that we desire to receive of Him? I want you to look at those three words again with me in their order, and I want to see what we're able to receive from the Lord. Number one, as we ask, what we're asking for is the wealth of the Father. We're asking for the wealth of the Father. Again, we find God's wealth in that term, to ask. When we ask, we realize again that we have a need. We are claiming that I am poor and needy, but God is rich in all things. Think of what the Bible tells us to do. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There is a need, therefore we are to ask. Paul had a problem of weakness physically. Sometimes we lack wisdom, sometimes we lack strength, sometimes we just lack ability to accomplish a task that God has set before us. Sometimes we lack the financial funds. Sometimes we lack the faith that we need. But there is one who is able to supply all of our need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. There's no need that he cannot meet. Folks, you and I are coming to one who is rich and abundant in all things. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is described as the omnipotent God, power that never runs dry. In fact, Isaiah says, even the youth will faint, but God does not faint and he does not grow weary. He is all wise. The Bible says there is nothing that's too hard for God. Although it is impossible with men, it is not impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. What need is he not rich in? He is rich in mercy. He is rich in grace. He is rich in love. He is rich in power. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is rich financially. There is nothing, no need that he cannot meet. He is rich in wisdom. You and I can come and mind the Word of God, and the Bible says that he gives within us the Spirit of God who will guide us in all truth, who will teach us all things. There is nothing that our God is not rich in. So we are told to come and seek his wealth. We understand this in a physical sense. Children, while they are growing, don't have the means to supply for their every need. And so they come to their parents with expectation. They come looking for a few funds so they can go to a RAN or go to a youth activity or go do a few things with some of their friends. And why? Because they don't have the means to supply. But their parents do. And so they come and they ask. Why? Because the wealth isn't theirs. The wealth is in the hands of their parents. So they come and they seek. And they ask for that wealth. You and I, as parents, though, have limited resources that we can offer. But God is unlimited. And we're told to ask that we might receive of the wealth of our Father. But then we're told to seek. And there we find the will of the Father. Seek. I am to seek in everything the will of my Father. A circumstance comes my way. A challenge is brought before me. A ministry opportunity is laid at my feet. An opportunity to be a blessing to others is now there before me. And what do I do? I am to seek. What? I'm to seek the will of my Heavenly Father. We have to ask ourselves, is it going to be my way or is it going to be the Lord's way? Ministry is presented to you. It's an opportunity. Well, I don't really know that that's something for me. I don't want to really do that. The question is, though, is, Lord, that what you want me to do? I am to seek Him, to know His will. Remember the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. After we are to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to seek the will of the Father. And here's the blessing. Prayer affords us the privilege of seeing God's will, God's perfect will, accomplished in our lives. We can come to God and say, Lord, I need to know. There have been times within my life, I can honestly tell you, that I've literally come before the Lord and said, Lord, I am stuck. I am confused. I do not know what to do. I cannot even begin to break all of this down and understand what's going on. Lord, I have to be honest with you. I can't live like this. And there's been times I've simply said, Lord, I'm asking. I am seeking your help. Lord, I need to know from you, and I'm asking that you would reveal that to me within the week. Now, folks, I've always been dumbfounded sometimes. I don't know why we are this, but it's true. The first time I ever did that with the Lord was when He was trying to call me to the ministry and I wasn't listening. I couldn't take it anymore. I said, Lord, I can't. I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you exactly what I said. I said, Lord, you got 7 days. 7 days or I'm going my way and I'm doing my thing because I cannot live like this. You have 7 days to answer me or I'll do what I want to do. I always tell people this. I gave God 7 days. He took 7 minutes. And the answer was right before me. I opened up His Word. I sought Him in prayer. And God made it extremely clear. And I said, thank you, Lord. There's been other times in my life, Lord, I'm asking. And it's there. Why? Because He has the answer. But seek that you might know the will of God. Folks, He wants you to. He's not trying to keep you in the clouds. He's not trying to hide the mystery. He's not trying to destroy your life. He wants to reveal it to you, but He wants you to seek it as if it were a hidden treasure because it's more valuable than that. I want you to know my will. Seek the will of the Father. The final word is to knock. There we find the work of the Father. Ask, seek, knock. What am I doing when I knock? What do I want to accomplish when I knock on a door? I want it opened. Right? Do you realize when you studied the Bible that an open door in Scripture is related to opportunity in ministry? A work of God to be done. A work to be accomplished. God has a work for all of us to do. And we ought to knock that that door be opened to us. There are souls that you want to see saved. That's a spiritual ministry opportunity. Are you knocking? Are you willing to do the work of God? Is there a life that you so desperately want to see changed? Is there something that you want to see happen in someone's life? A sin that you want to see them conquered? Are you knocking? See, doors are open when we knock. Sometimes we sit there, I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. I wish someone would get involved. I wish God would use something in that life. And He's saying, I would. But I need you to open the door. I want you to knock. And I need ready and willing servants to do the work. Warren Wiersbe, I think, summed it all up very well when he simply says, the Father will share His wealth with us if we obey His will so we can do His work. Ask, seek, and knock. Folks, God has given to you and to me a wonderful blessing. A wonderful opportunity. We call it prayer. I'll remind you what I reminded our young people over the weekend. What's it mean to pray? Pray means I proclaim my faith in God. I know that He is able. I renounce my own efforts. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean to my own understanding. I acknowledge Him in everything, because He alone is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and I yearn for His involvement. Pray. Jesus said, I want you to see a wonderful blessing. You've asked me to teach you how to pray. Well, here's what I want you to know. First of all, I want you to be inclined to pray. I say unto you, ask, seek, and knock. And I want you to know the intent of it all. God wants to share, my Father wants to share His wealth with you. He wants you to know His will, and He wants you to be able to do His work. So ask, seek, and knock. Folks, is there any greater blessing God has given beyond your salvation than the fact that He, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things, the Omnipotent One, would say to you and I, who are nothing, come and ask of Me. Come and seek from Me. Come, knock on My door. And I will give to you of My wealth. I will share with you My will. And I will allow you to do My work. And I'll be with you every step of the way. Perhaps the only greater blessing that we could even suggest, but I think you probably have to put them on an even plane, is the very Word of God itself. Yet, we so often neglect such opportunity. And then we wonder, well, I wonder why God doesn't do anything. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you're seeking your own will and not the will of the Father. You have not because you simply won't come and knock until that door is opened. But God says He wants to do those things for you and me. We've been given a wonderful blessing, and I trust we'll lay hold of that wonderful blessing, that we would simply learn to ask from our simplest desire, seek our earnest inquiry, and knock our repeated endeavor. Let's pray together, please, as we close.